Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. It's good to have you all here this morning on this beautiful morning. It was a crisp morning this morning. The frost was out, but the sky was painted beautiful with those pinks and oranges. So I just appreciate God's use of color each and every morning. There are a few announcements that I'd like to highlight that are in your bulletin. One of the ones that I'd like to highlight is the 12 days of prayer for Daniel Bryant. There's a sign-up board in the back narthex for people to choose a time to be praying for Daniel over the course of December 26th through January 6th with his upcoming surgery. So we'd ask people to take time to sign up on that board. The other thing is there will be a remembrance luncheon for Faye Balzbach on December 28th from 12 noon to 1:30 at the Gathering Place, and it asks that we please RSVP to Ann Gruber. The information is there in your bulletin. One announcement that I'd just like to highlight is next week is Christmas caroling on Sunday afternoon after the worship service. If you'd like to join us to go out Christmas caroling, we would love to have you. There's a sign-up sheet, or you can just say something to me so that I can make sure we have enough food for lunch. But we'll look forward to seeing everybody, and I know how much the homebound and the people in the nursing homes appreciate that time that we spend with them caroling. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to highlight? I'll just give a plug yet then for next week is the Children's Christmas Program at 9:30 during the Sunday School Hour. It will be here in the sanctuary. I would encourage you to come out and support the children. They've been working really hard on the Christmas play this year, and so I would really appreciate your support in that. They will appreciate it. Thanks. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. Lord, you have made great plans preparing for Christmas. You've given us your Son in the flesh that we might know hope and be like him to the world. As we anticipate his coming, may our hearts be ready. May we fully worship you with all our being and know that the light has come. Please be seated for the Advent candlelight. May our hearts be ready. May we fully worship you with all our being,
from his roots,
and know
a branch
that the light has come.
The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked.
We live in a world desperate for hope. There seems to be no end to the problem we face, and sometimes we despair that anything can be made right. That was also the world Jesus came to when he was born. God promised then, just as he promises now, that when Jesus came, we would see the Spirit of God in all he was and all he did. He would be the perfect judge, for he would judge righteously and with compassion on all who needed compassion. God promised that the whole earth would shake with the force of his words, and the wicked would be destroyed.
This was the hope the world longed for. It is the hope we long for today. We need the perfection only Jesus could be. We are desperate for someone to believe in who will never disappoint us.
We want someone who is righteous and just and compassionate, and our hopes have all been realized in the baby who was born in Bethlehem.
We light the Advent candle as a reminder that hope was born at Christmas.
Few saw it at first in the darkness of the stable, but the light of the world had come.
If you're able, please rise and join us in singing What Child Is This? And there will not be a pause between songs. We're going to go right into the next song, so please stay standing and continue singing with us.
Sleeping, whom angels greet with thanks. sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high, the Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
I'll sing Emmanuel by Chris Tomlin.
What hope we hold is starlit night. A king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in a silent age, 400 years can he be found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground. Exalted now, the King of Kings, praise God for the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is thank you.
pray. Lord, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are a God that is here with us, present in our daily lives. We thank you for the opportunity before us to receive new members into this congregation. And we just thank you for the lives of Billie Jean and David as they prepare to come forward. We thank you for their hearts. We thank you for their love for you. We thank you for this body of believers to surround them as they nurture their faith, as they grow together with us. And we thank you, Lord, for being who you are, that we know the true meaning of Christmas, that you are hope and you are peace and you are joy and you are love. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite Billie Jean and David to come forward if you're willing to, or I can come to you, whichever is easier. Billie Jean and David are familiar to many in the congregation. You're able to face them, and that'll be fantastic. So I'm just going to ask just a few questions, and then we're going to just respond together, welcoming you to Little Swatara. So friends in Christ, you have previously made confession of your faith and have been members of his church. We rejoice in your decision to become members of this congregation in full covenant relationship with the believers who worship and serve God in this place. Do you now reaffirm your faith in and loyalty to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his gospel? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
As you unite with this church, will you worship, serve, and share in its program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, regular attendance, loyal service, and faithful stewardship as God gives you strength? If so, please say, with God's help, I will. Do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Congregation, would you please welcome them, repeating after me? We welcome you with joy and affection,
we welcome you with joy and affection,
into this household of faith.
Household.
We pledge to you our help, our prayers, our concern, that we may all increase in the knowledge and love of God. We trust God for strength to follow you within Christ's ways, keeping together the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. Welcome. Thank you so much. God bless you. Yes. I invite you now, if you have any joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family. Certainly it is a joy as the winter starts to settle in. We've seen some snow already, and we're so thankful for snow. And of course, we don't like to drive in it, but it is nice to be able to just gather together here under this warm roof and be able to worship God together and experience God together. Any joys or concerns you'd like to share? We have a microphone. If you're new here, we just ask you to put your hand in the air, and we'll be glad to get that microphone to you.
It was a joy to see all the gingerbread houses yesterday staying in one piece.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the prayers and love and concern. When I think 1 week ago I was in the hospital and didn't know when I would get out of there. Praise God for answered prayer.
Amen. God is faithful.
My husband is whispering over here, finals week for all the college students. Lots of stress there. Some of us still remember it. But I would like to ask prayers for my stepfather, Nevin Walter. We had prayed for him about 2 weeks ago. He had a GI bleed at that point. He went back in on Friday night with a bowel obstruction. So still lots of stress.
Let's pray. Lord, we pause this morning and we remember who you are. We know that you are the Christ, that you are the Messiah, that you are the only one who can save us from our sins. And as we gather here on this second Sunday of Advent, we also remember that you are our hope, Lord, we admit we put hope in so many things in this world, in people, in objects, and that hope sometimes doesn't always come to pass. But we, Lord, we know the hope we place in you always comes to pass before anything we go through. We know that hope is there. And so, Lord, we just thank you that we can go through this life's journey and we can know that you are a God that travels with us, that you are a God that is ever present, that you are the master physician. And Lord, if it be your will, with the touch of your hand, with the sound of your voice, anyone that's struggling can be healed of what they're going through. But Lord, we know in those struggles and those sufferings, we're drawn closer to you. We get to know you more in your suffering. And so, Lord, though it's difficult to endure the pain, it's difficult to endure the hardship, Lord, we know that we're not alone. And so we thank you, Lord, for that peace that you give us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our struggles. We do want to thank you, Lord, for being with those that have been in the hospital and have gone through surgeries and are now in the mend. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bring healing to their bodies. And think of Suzanne this morning and just praise you, Lord, for the way in which you have brought her through her bout with pneumonia. We think of others this morning that are not able to be with us, that are homesick, that are ill, that are homebound, that are shut in, whatever it may be, Lord, that they long to be with us and they may be watching on live stream right now. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we ask your blessing upon them and thank you for each of their lives. We pray, Lord, for Nevin this morning. You know the bowel obstruction he has, Lord, and we just pray your healing touch upon him, Lord, and continue to journey with him and give him peace and comfort and just bring healing to him if it be your will, Lord. We do know finals week has come to be part of many college students' lives, and we just pray for their stress levels. We know how difficult it can be to cram all that information in to study for those exams, and we just pray you would give them the strength and wisdom and knowledge they need to be able to do their absolute best on those finals. And we just thank you for our college students, our young people, and for those that are all gathered here of all ages, Lord. We are just overwhelmed and thankful for just the way you interact with each of us and give us each what we need in this very hour. We do continue to lift up Daniel this morning and just thank you. He's here with us and just pray your blessings upon him, Lord, and his family as he looks toward that procedure, Lord. We pray your peace. We pray your comfort and just guide him and just allow him not to feel any stress or anxiety, that you are very near to him and his entire family. And we just lift up by name those on our prayer concerns. We lift up Beverly and Carl and Vera and Joanne and Naomi and Sandy this morning and our sister church, Source of Grace Mountain of glory. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done. We trust you and we believe in you and we have faith in you. And Lord, whatever occupation we have here in this place, we know, Lord, that you work through us to get things done. And we just thank you for everyone and for those retired, Lord, in other aspects of their lives. We just thank you that you bless them in their journeys. So thank you again, Lord, for meeting us here and giving us this opportunity to worship you, to know you, and to be able to leave this place and tell of you to others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning for our offertory thought, I'd like to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 32 through 36. The writer says, "Remember those earlier days, after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." I think it's important to remember as we approach this time of celebration at the gift of Jesus coming to earth, to remember that we here in this country have a great blessing in the ability to meet openly and worship him. And that's not true around the world everywhere. So as we prepare to give our gifts and offerings to God, I just pray that you would think about those that are less fortunate than we are. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you give us in spirit, in material goods, in relationships. And we pray today that our offerings would be a pleasing sacrifice to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you despair.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for this morning's children's moment. Good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? Good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Are you guys getting excited for Christmas? Yeah. Are you excited for Christmas? What's something you might hope for Christmas? What's that? A pull-up bar? I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Hoping for Christmas.
A gym.
A what?
A gym.
A gym. Okay. Cool.
Maybe a YouTube video camera and a chinchilla.
A YouTube video camera and a chinchilla?
Yeah.
Okay. What else are we hoping for? Mom and Dad out there paying attention? A hoverboard? Yeah. The Shane? A German Shepherd. What else? You hope for anything else? Another sister. Oh, that's precious. Well, what if I gave you this pen? Let me give you that pen. What are you hoping that pen's going to do? It's going to write. Have you ever picked up a pen and it didn't write? That's adults, how frustrating is that? Go ahead.
Like, it's so frustrating because, like, what if you have to do something and you, like, have no pencil? All you have to find is, like, are you better? Like, can we draw? And this pen doesn't work.
Like, seriously, I know, right?
And I that happens to me all the time. Like, I never find a pencil and I'm like, oh, gee, what am I going to do?
Right. Right. And so
in the middle of the lesson, so I have to write, like, everything down. And, like,
so you trust in your memory. You're hoping your memory serves you right, right?
I usually want my teacher to write it on the board, but seriously, I have something.
Yeah. So we hope that pen writes, but oftentimes that hope in that pen fails because it's out of ink or it decides it's not going to write. But if you're anything like me, you put that pen right back where you got it from, and then you end up picking it up another time. So maybe our lesson for today with hoping in that pen to write the second time we try it is to just put it in the garbage or replace its ink. Okay? And right, that would tell us if the pen works. So this is a box of tissues, right? I hear a lot of people out there coughing and probably, is it working? Oh, good. Awesome. So we use tissues to do what? To blow our nose, okay? Now, this is going to be really gross, but have you ever, I don't have to actually blow my nose, but have you ever used a tissue and you blew your nose and it went right through the tissue and like all the snot all over your face? Had ever happened to anyone else, or is that just me?
Oh, when I had the flu, that happened.
So now you know what I do? I just take two tissues and just be done with it in the beginning. So we have hope that that tissue is going to catch all of our snot, right? Right? Or sneeze. Yeah. Now, there was a bag of popcorn up here, but Mikhail, have you got your bag of popcorn? Look at this. So check this out. He's got a bag of popcorn. Now, do you notice anything about that bag of popcorn? Nope, you can keep it. Right. Does that look like the normal size bag of popcorn? Oh. They now make smaller size bags of popcorn. So how long do you normally put popcorn in the microwave?
About 30 seconds.
2.5 minutes. That's exactly right. So a full-size bag of popcorn, that's 2.5 minutes.
1.5 minutes.
Goes, okay, 1.5. Okay, 1.5. But if you put it in longer than that, like if you put that size popcorn bag into the microwave for 2.5 minutes, what's the house going to smell like?
Burnt popcorn.
Does anything smell worse than about burnt popcorn?
Actually, this one time.
And then you got to open your windows. Yeah.
Funny,
it's a horrible smell. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And
go ahead.
We got me and Barrett. And actually, I was not sure if we need to get a new house. Also, me and my brother got back from home. We made pretzels. They didn't want a pretzel. I was like, okay. I didn't. It was 5, and I didn't. It was the first time I ever made it, so I did not know. After like 2 minutes, I was like, and they just smelled smoke. And the whole house filled up with smoke, and we had to go out for how smoky it was.
Right, but everyone was okay. So we put hope in our popcorn because that's one of my favorite nighttime snacks when we're watching football, to have a bag of popcorn. But now they make them in all these different sizes, and you got to be careful how long you put that popcorn in there. Then this is a favorite this time of year, isn't it? How many of you like hot chocolate? Do you see how many ounces of water you're supposed to put with that? How many ounces does it say? It might be on the front, actually. Yeah, maybe it's not on that one. But we're supposed to put 8 ounces of water with a cup of hot cocoa. And what happens if you put more water with it? It waters it down, right?
Yeah,
it waters it down and it tastes so gross. So we put our hope in all these things, hot chocolate, popcorn, a pen, and tissues, and they let us down. But there's a hope at Christmas. Do you know who this hope is?
What's his name?
Or milk, right. So Jesus is our hope at Christmas. So let's pray to him, and I pray each of you get to know Jesus as you approach Christmas and remember the true reason for the season. So Lord, we thank you for these precious kids before us. Lord, you know the hopes that they have, you know the dreams that they have, but Lord, I pray in this very moment their hope and their trust and their belief would be in you, that they would have faith in you and have you in their heart as they enter into this Christmas, knowing that it's not the hope and gifts that they're going to receive, but it's the hope that they get through you, a treasure that we all can hold on to tightly as we go through this season. So thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus, and the greatest gift of hope that he could possibly be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Does anyone know where there's a trash can?
Can you walk it in?
No.
No? You don't want to put it
when Christ
Christ was born. A night divine. A night
divine. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this indescribable time of worship with you. Lord, you are so good. You are so merciful. You are so filled with grace, and you draw us near to you now in this very hour as we have come to know you more. And we pray as we open your word, indeed, that would come to pass. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. You may remember last week we talked about the perfect peace we can find by setting the proper pace. We talked about two sisters. Martha was task-driven, and Mary was quite relational. In essence, we could say that they were both focused on what they longed to do. You may remember I challenged us to compare how much time we spend prepping for the Christmas season versus how much time we spend in relation to Christ. Believe it or not, we're now 17 days till Christmas. That wasn't intended to cause anyone more stress. But listen to these reports. Online shoppers have spent $9.4 billion on Cyber Monday. Now, interestingly, but really no surprise, based on our rapid pace and full throttle into the season, it was the late night shoppers who boosted the total sales by spending $2.9 billion between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Anyone willing to confess they were one of those shoppers? The shoe deals were incredible, were they not? And the way my kids go through shoes, I couldn't help but to get in on that purchase. Thus far, holiday shoppers have spent $81.5 billion online between November 1st and December 2nd. In comparison to last year, we're already up 19%. So friends, what is this telling us? What can we learn from these stats? Either items purchased are getting more expensive, which is true based on the higher technology demands. But you remember those giant chocolate Hershey Kisses? Anyone get one of those for Christmas? And then the box of Lifesavers. Do you remember opening the box and all those Lifesavers? The cherry were my favorite. I was always trade my brother. But it's either the items are getting more expensive or the focus on the Christ in Christmas somehow is losing its meaning. And what that means is the world may be gaining further ground in distracting us. But friends, we know that this can't be. We who say we love the Lord must celebrate and must honor him, especially at this very special time. I mean, Kyle, could you have imagined your birthday going by and no one saying happy birthday to you? Could you even have imagined that? But Christ feels like that sometimes during his birthday. So what we do is there's always reason for cake. And Christmas is another one of those reasons. So we have cake or we have cupcakes, and we celebrate Jesus' birthday by singing happy birthday to him. But friends, we know that the doors will continue to be packed. We know that everyone is still searching for that perfect gift. The highways will continue to be congested. Anxiety will overflow just in an effort to get everything done. Not exactly what we call a season of comfort and joy. But there's hope, friends, and hope is on the way. And hope has a name, and as we gather around the word, we'll get to know who is this hope. But first, let's see what we've been up to. How many of you are already baking cookies? How many of you already have your tree up? Your tree is totally decorated, lights strung, even lights strung outside. How many of you are preparing for your family gatherings, deciding what you're going to serve? And how many of you already have gifts that are wrapped and placed in places that your kids aren't going to find them? I'll confess, there was one year I hid them so well, it was 3 years later till I found them. By then, they were outdated and the kids no longer wanted them. But as we consider what matters most, we start to get this kind of strange feeling that much of what we're doing rarely involves the actual meaning of Christmas. Even this week, I've said to myself as I was trying to shop for that perfect gift for Denise, what am I doing? I'm preaching on this every week, but yet there I am, all frantic in the hustle and bustle, waiting in long lines to get what's on the list. And we already know, friends, the gift that lasts forever. The gift of the presence of people gathered together, whether around the table at Christmas or around the pews here during a church service. So who is this hope this second Sunday of Advent? And did you ever think about what did God do to get ready for Christmas? Remember, as the Old Testament closed with the book of Malachi, there was a period of silence for 400 years. God will not speak again to the Jews until he has all the work completed to make the world ready for the arrival of Jesus Christ. Now, here's a few things that happened. God had to defy the very laws of nature. He had to redefine his personal role with his people. Not only that, but God had to fulfill ancient promises. And he had to move from being infinite to being finite. And the most amazing thing about the entire Christmas story is this. It's not that God broke into history, but he did so through ordinary people like you and I. And friends, I don't know about you this morning, that gives us hope. That we're not alone, that God can and is and will use us. You see, everything that God has done in this world, in one way or another, he did through people. That's how God accomplishes his work and his plans, through human beings doing divine work. So this morning, as we consider who is this hope, I want us to look at the human preparations that God made to accomplish his divine plan for Christmas. Now, I was very tempted to use the King James Version just because of all the begats, but we're going to stick with the NIV. And this is a part of Scripture sometimes we just breeze by, but today you're going to realize just how important it is to read Matthew 1, verses 1 to 17. We're going to read it aloud together. Don't be nervous. There's names I don't know how to pronounce either. Let's just pronounce them the best we can together. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. Inhale and exhale. Here we go. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud, Abiud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Akim, Akim, the father of Eliad, Eliad, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob. And this is when it gets really excited. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Whew. So what do all these preparations God made for that very first Christmas mean for us today? Friends, even when God seems silent, He is still bringing His divine plan to completion. Look again at the first verse of Matthew, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, this would have been a major headline in newspapers of that day. It would be like, extra, extra, read all about it. Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham, brings hope to the world. But let's admit it. How often do we read right over those verses without giving them much thought? Friends, this is incredible. This is the powerful statement that can be made that Matthew is being extremely bold here, making a number of critical claims. Did you hear what I heard? Jesus is the Christ. Matthew makes it clear that he is claiming that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. Now, Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which means king or anointed one. Matthew is saying that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and the anointed one of God. Who is this hope? Listen to this. There were three offices that were considered anointed in Israel. There were the prophets who were God's special spokesmen. They were considered to have a direct connection with God. They were the link between God and His people. Prophets were seen as the connection with God's word and God's will. And then there were the priests. They oversaw the sacrificial system. They were given charge over spiritual practices. Ultimately, check this out, the priest was the connection to God's forgiveness. And then the kings, who were intended to be the political representatives of God. They were anointed as the leader of God placed over the people. The king was the connection to God's authority. When Matthew says that Jesus is the Christ, he is saying that Jesus is more than just any ordinary king. Matthew is saying that Jesus is the awaited Messiah and the anointed one of God. And here's why. Because Jesus fulfilled all three of those offices. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. Notice he's the son of David. Matthew's literally saying that Jesus is the descendant of David. What that means to us is that Jesus was connected to the family line of David. This very fact allows Jesus to be a king through David's bloodline. But it also says that he is the son of Abraham. Remember that genealogies were used by the Hebrews to prove their place as one of God's people. They were used as a symbol of social standing. So Matthew starts his genealogy with Abraham because of his purpose. Remember, Matthew wanted to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. It had to begin with Abraham, who was the father of Israel. No record would possibly be complete without that connection. You see, we can believe, we can trust, we can know that Jesus is the long-promised Messiah. He's the Savior of Israel and the hope of all nations. Matthew understands that to communicate who Jesus is must begin with a bold statement, making it clear Jesus is all those things. Friends, no matter who you are, no matter how messed up you might think your life is, God can and will use you. Friends, these 17 verses span the lives of 46 people and almost 2,000 years of history. Matthew's record shows a variety of people, a variety of personalities, varying cultures and manners of conduct. All of these make up the tapestry of God's work even more amazing. Notice how Matthew makes it clear that the family line of Jesus was anything but spotless. He goes as far to include the wicked kings right along with the righteous ones. This matters to us because God uses the dysfunction found in the line of David to accomplish the divine. What that means is God will always be faithful to his promises. Remember that history is the revelation of how God works to complete his divine plans. And the key to all this is in verse 16. Matthew finishes his claim that Jesus is of the line of David and the Son of God. Look again at what Matthew says in that verse. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Matthew makes two things vitally clear. Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised Messiah that Israel had been waiting for. And Jesus is the promised son of David, the king over Israel. But pay very close attention. He makes it clear that Jesus is the son of Mary, wife of Joseph. So what? What does that matter? Friends, Jesus was born to Mary, and Joseph was not his fleshly father. Let me say that again. Jesus was born to Mary, and Joseph was not his fleshly father. You may remember, Joseph accepted Jesus as his son, but he was not his father. And here's why this matters. If Jesus was born through human conception, he could not be God. So again, what is it we need to get ready for Christmas? What's holding us down from seeing what's up? When will we see the peace and discover the hope that Jesus truly is? And as the praise team comes forward for our final song, remember this. Hope says that it is not over yet. Hope says things can and things will change. It says, friends, that the new is coming and the old is passing away. Hope cannot and will not disappoint. And the question for us this morning is, do you know this hope? And if you do, as the world continues in its rapid pace, its downward spiral, as darkness continues to consume us, grab hold and hang tight to this hope, because it will see you through. We can say together, let it rain, let it thunder, let life crash in on every single side. Because hope says, not today. I am in control. And this storm that you're going through right now will pass, and the sun will shine, and we will have victory in the name of hope. So who is this hope? His name is Jesus, born of Mary, a prophet, a priest, and a king. And today, like every day, friends, he brings salvation. Don't begin to even think you're ready for Christmas if you haven't accepted Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know our hearts. You know how far we are from you, how distant we are from you. Oh yes, we've said a prayer and we've said, Jesus, come into my heart. But Lord, you know our lives. You know the way we're living. You know the way we look at others. Lord, you're the only judge. And we come before you humbly asking, confessing that we're not in control, that you are in control, and we have hope because of your son, Jesus. So Lord, again, on this day, a newness surrounds us, a hope fills us, and all those things from the past can be left there. For you are making all things new, and we come to you and we humbly say, Lord, we accept you as our Lord and Savior. And we say today and from this day forward, we will live only for you. The world cannot and the world will not distract us any longer. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you all rise and join us in our last song? And while you're rising, I want you to all do me a favor. I want you to yell to me. I want you to yell, He reigns. Come on, stand up. Louder.
He reigns.
Remember the time of year it is right now. Be excited about this. Be excited for the person standing next to you. With the condition of the world that we're in today, He reigns. He's coming back. Maybe this is it. But just, you know, get excited. I just saw the music for the first time to this song on Wednesday night. This might be the first time you're singing, or we're going to sing the chorus 10 times probably. You'll know it. So I want to hear it. Nothing fills me up more than to hear you yelling back at me. So join us in singing, He Reigns.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans, for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and He shall child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. If I were a shepherd, I would do my part. Poor as I am, I would give to Him my heart. And He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. gifts of eternal years, Christ the Messiah, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
Amen.
The reality that he shall reign forevermore creates a reality within each of us that he too needs to reign within each of our lives. So what is it today to get ready for Christmas you need to do to get right with God? May it be so in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
It's like hanging there.